You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, it's time to start breaking down this Marlins roster as we get closer and closer to spring training. A little over a month to go until pitchers and catchers report. We'll take that month by going around the diamond, basically, and focusing in on each position. We're going to kick things off with the starting rotation, and it's certainly an interesting starting rotation. There is depth there. The question mark is what comes at the top of that rotation, I guess, and maybe the biggest question is who's going to start opening day. That'll probably work itself out in spring training, but let's get right into it as far as this starting rotation goes. Let's start with the new additions, because obviously they bring in Edinson Volquez and Jeff Locke to try to help out this team. Obviously, there's a big hole there after the tragic passing of Jose Fernandez, and that was something this team needed to do in the offseason. Let's start with Volquez. It's a veteran presence. It's a guy that's been around. He's pitched in big games. Wasn't exactly lights out by any means last year. Struggled at times. What is the Marlins' viewpoint of Volquez and how he fits into this starting rotation?
Yeah, Tim, he probably will be the most significant offseason addition the Marlins made. If you look at the dollar spent, 2 years, $22 million. A lot of we've talked about, kind of building up the bullpen, but Volquez has kind of been asked to come in here and replace the innings, not the talent of Jose Fernandez. Let's make that very clear, that this is a guy, this is an organization right now looking for innings and hopefully, for their point of view, quality innings from a starter. And Edison had over 189 last year, and Jose, remember, was on that innings limit. He finished the year like at 182 and a third. So Volquez is very significant in bringing him in to be a stabilizing presence in the rotation. A guy potentially could be the opening day starter, has won a World Series with Kansas City, and a guy, as breaking it down, he made 34 starts last year for the Royals. 21 of those, Tim, were 6 innings or more and 5 7-innings or more. So they want him to go deep in the games and quite simply just keep the team in the game. And they think that, you know, the fact that he's been durable through his career, one of the focal points of this offseason wasn't to take a risk on and go high on a guy like a Rich Hill who has a history of injury. And obviously the talent and stuff is you know, elite, but the dependability wasn't always there. They rather get more of a sure bet, and that's why they targeted a guy like Volquez.
Yeah, so in Volquez, it's the addition where you kind of know what you're getting, or at least you hope you do. Jeff Locke is kind of a different story. He's a guy that at times in his career has really looked great, has some good stuff, but has never really been able to put together a full season in his time in Pittsburgh. Now he comes over to the Marlins. Obviously, the goal is to see more of good Jeff Locke and less of bad Jeff Locke, but how does that happen?
Well, here's a probably a very low-risk, high-reward type of deal. 1 year, $3 million. So not a ton invested there with the potential of sliding into the bullpen if they were to, you know, get another starter along the way. Now, Tim, keep this in mind. With Jeff Locke, there's history with Jim Benedict, the Marlins vice president of pitching development, who was previously in the Pirates organization. So Benedict has his fingerprints on all pitching moves, is the most influential man in the organization when it comes to deciding which pitchers to pursue, and they're buying into his program on how to pitch. So obviously they're looking for a turnaround and a hope that in Jeff Locke, who is left-handed and joins this rotation, will offer, you know, something that Benedict sees. I don't know exactly what that is. We got to kind of get to camp and see what they work on. But this is almost like a Jim Benedict project and hope that Jeff Locke, can go out there and, you know, keep his team in the game and, you know, pitch, obviously changing speeds and just kind of be reliable enough to go out there and carry at least the midway point of the game.
So there's your new additions to this rotation. Let's get to the returners now, and there's some young guys, obviously, and veterans as well. Let's start with Adam Conley, because plenty of upside still for Conley. He was pretty good in 2016. He helped fill out that rotation. He made 25 starts for this team. The ERA was pretty good. How much more is now going to be kind of thrown on Adam Conley, or how much more pressure is on Adam Conley in 2017?
Well, Tim, without question, there's a lot. But I think what Adam has to guard against is trying to think he's got to step up and replace Jose in terms of being the guy who has got the ace stuff. And Adam may tend to do that because he's highly competitive and passionate. Now, if Adam stays within himself and does what he can, he really showed some promise. He was kind of their pitching star in spring training last year, and kind of the guy that was almost a differentiator and took this team, you know, into the postseason, which for 4 months they looked like they were trending that way. Then Adam also got hurt in August. Now his injury was finger, so it's nothing alarming in terms of anything arm. So that's really encouraging. He made 25 starts, and you know, this is a kid who flirted with a no hitter late in April, I believe it was, up in Milwaukee. So there's a lot of upside. His slider is really good. He really pitches with his fastball also. And I just think this guy, he could, on his best days, he's probably a two. But I think if you want to play it safe, he probably settles more as a three. And if he can pitch more like a two, I think the Marlins, you know, will have a guy who, at least stuff-wise, is the best that they have.
Then you have Wei-Yin Chen, who obviously was an addition a year ago and a free agent guy, and a guy that couldn't get through 2016 fully healthy. Do they like what they'll get from him if he's healthy? Is that the biggest question mark with Wei-Yin Chen? Or at his age, are there also some concerns that the stuff is regressing?
No, I think, Tim, I think it's fair to say he might be the key to the whole season. You know, this guy, many forgot he was the opening day starter last year, but that was because of how they were using Jose with their innings plan. And, you know, he was obviously, an $80 million investment, too. And a history of durability in Baltimore, who pitched to a pretty low ERA in the American League East. So, his numbers all kind of were skewed in the eyes of the Marlins, because this guy had tremendous success in the division that it's hard to have success, in, especially in those ballparks up in the AL East. And he came down here, and it just never clicked for him. On opening day, he got hit by a comebacker on his elbow, and, you know, he missed time. He missed, like, 2 months in the Marlins. The last thing they thought was that guy wasn't going to give him 30 starts. But, you know, this is one reason why this organization has always traditionally been really, really hesitant to spend on starting pitching in the free agent market is durability. And the guy that seemed a safe bet as any to go 880 to 200 innings ends up making, 22 starts, and really the starts in the final – you know, a couple of starts at the end of the season were just more easing him back and just kind of getting him, you know, back with the mound. There is got to be some concern about the arm. I mean, there was like a forearm elbow type issue, and he had Tommy John surgery many years ago. And, you know, maybe there's something there that they got to be, you know, a little concerned with. But if he can, you know, be healthy, this kid, you know, this guy knows how to pitch, and they're going to really be counting on him to not only log a lot of innings, but win a lot of games. And that, and he possibly, I think, either Chen or Volquez may get the nod for opening day.
So when you look at that fifth starter spot, Tom Kohler obviously made a lot of starts in 2017. The question, I guess, for you, Joe, is he the guy? Is there a competition there? Because Jose Urena's in the mix. Justin Nicolino, obviously, still a prospect who struggled at times, did make 18 appearances, 13 starts a year ago. So I guess technically not a prospect anymore. But what is the deal with the fifth starter role at this point as we head into spring training? Is it Kohler's to lose? Is it an open competition?
No, I think Tom is pretty safe. I mean, he's a guy at 33 starts last year. He's been the guy that, you know, even if he doesn't have the greatest of spring trainings, they're not going to say, oh, well, let's, you know, start him off in the bullpen or whatever. You know, this is a guy who's made, you know, 30-plus starts a few years in a row now, and has been, you know, probably the most durable pitcher they've had probably since, 14 or 15. And, you know, I think Tom is going to pitch. He may pitch in the fourth spot. You know, Lock may get the fifth. I mean, keep in mind, there are three lefties here, which is kind of unique in its own right. So I kind of would, if I were lining them up, I might have TK in the four hole and Lock in the fifth. So that's how I kind of think they're going to do it. You know, Tom is highly competitive, and there are outings he has that are just really sensational, and then others not so good. And I think, you know, a lot with him is command, obviously, with a lot of pitchers, but Tom especially. His breaking ball is really effective. He gets a lot of swing and misses on it. So I think that they're going to probably just kind of look at him analytically and say which have been his best pitches and try to, you know, do the best to maximize, you know, how they're, you know, how he's mixing them in and you know, calling a game and pitching a game. So I think Tom is the one guy that also, I think you can kind of put him there when you noted Volquez earlier about you kind of know what you're getting. And Tom will win you about 10 games. And, you know, I think that, you know, if he gets in the hot streak, you know, he could give him, you know, a stretch of being, you know, a really high-end type of guy. So Tom is kind of going around in circles a bit, but he's a guy that who's kind of been a bulldog and for this franchise. He's homegrown, and I kind of anticipate more of the same in 17.
No team gets through the season with five starters. I mean, that's fairly safe to say. And the good thing for the Marlins when you look at it is they have guys who have experienced a little bit over the last year or two to plug in, and those are the guys I mentioned, Jose Urena, Justin Nicolino. Anyone else coming up through that could be a factor in that rotation?
Yeah, Luis Castillo. I think we got him a 4 or 5 on the prospect, whatever the latest pipeline prospect list has him. A right-hander will probably open the season in AAA. Castillo is a guy who's touching 97, right-hander, who I've talked to scouts in other organizations and think this guy potentially could be a 2. He, you know, may settle as a 3 or 4 or even 5 until you actually prove yourself. But he's the guy that – interesting story because people who hear the name, and it's not to be confused with Luis Castillo, the former second baseman, he was traded as part of the deal to go to the Padres. And, you know, when Colin Ray and Andrew Cashner came to Miami, well, Ray had the arm issue, and after making just one start in Miami, got sent back, and they kind of redid that part of it and returned, you know, Castillo back to the Marlins, and that might end up being a blessing for the Marlins because he right now, in terms of starter ready, is probably, you know, the one guy internally that could give them a little bit of spark and you know, maybe pick up the slack if somebody doesn't, you know, perform the way they want or there's injury. But he's also a guy, I think, you know, with service time, we could be looking at a June, you know, a June type of call-up. They have a left-hander named Dylan Peters, who also is in a similar situation to Castillo in terms of being close to being big league ready. So you got those two, who I think, and you know, as we look at the minor leagues, and then you got, as you noted, Nicolino will probably open the year in AAA. Nicolino may end up in the bullpen at some point, but I think they're going to see. Apparently, he's gotten a little bigger. They're trying to get, you know, a little stronger, maybe get a little more velocity, and you know, that's a guy they have options. And Jose Urena, who you mentioned earlier, is out of options. He's got to make this team. So if he doesn't, that guy could be traded. So I think that they might be looking at Urena as a guy that could kind of float in there and be a long reliever, make the club, and then see if something happens in the rotation that you know, moves them up there. You know, they don't have a ton of power right-handed arms, and Urena is probably it right now for them. So they're going to need Urena to kind of reach that next level in terms of consistency, because if you look at the numbers, what was it, like 4-9 with a 6 ERA in the big leagues last year, going, you know, I think 12 starts and the number of relief appearances. So the stuff is there. The command hasn't always been, and they're going to need him to kind of kick it in the gear. If not, I wouldn't be shocked if he's traded before opening day.
If the Marlins are going to contend and compete in 2017, they're going to have to get some lifts from these starters. That's certainly a fact as we head towards spring training. So that is the breakdown of the starting rotation. We'll work our way around the roster as we get closer to spring training. Great stuff as always, Joe. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Frisaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.